and pulls his way to around the 29-yard line. So a gain of about 3 yards for the Hornets. Shep, who's been injured the last couple of weeks, but back to it here tonight. Actually got injured last week while playing defense. Third down and about 5 yards to go for the Richland Center Hornets from the 29-yard line here in the opening quarter of football. The Hornets run the play in from the near side. Duncan Harper runs it in, and the Blackhawks are setting up defensively to try and get a stop and get the ball back here early on. One man wide to the left side for Richland Center. Shep will take the snap under center. Kleppe is the center. Long snap count, and Shep fakes the pitch, rolls to the right side. They're coming after him. He stands and then throws a sidearm delivery to Bosworth, who makes the grab and gets to a first down. Wes Bosworth and the Hornets convert on third down. That was a gain of about 10 yards, that is. Getting the ball out to around the 35, 40-yard line area. We'll see where he went out of bounds. Ball is marked at the 40-yard line. So that's where the Hornets will continue this drive. First down and 10 for Richland Center from their own 40-yard line. Hornets with the ball on the far hash mark. Single running back, Dosh, right behind Jaden Shep. Everybody in tight. And River Valley showing blitz. There's the snap. And handing off, the Hornets are going to rumble over to the 40 to the 41-yard line. Not much there for Brady Dosh, who's spun around. Gain of a yard. Second down and 9 yards to go for the River Valley Blackhawks. Tackle made by Owen Jones, number 52. We called his name and number a lot last week during the River Valley homecoming football game. Oh, what a day for the Richland Center Parade. I just really enjoyed it. It was a great turnout, and hats off to all the classes that came back as well, whether it was their reunion or not. Saw a lot of folks I used to know. Second down and 9 yards. There's the snap and a quarterback option. Shep will pitch. Dosh trying to make the corner, and he's spun around after a gain of about a yard. Great open field play for River Valley's Caden Plumley. He makes the stop, and the Hornets held to a minimal gain. Third down and about 8 yards to go for the Richland Center Hornets. Ball just across the 42-yard line, their own, heading toward the end zone parallel to Highway 14. The play comes in from the near side with Schwitzenberg. Getting that one in there. Again, the time is being kept on the field tonight, so hopefully we can get some updates from time to time on how much time is left. Third down, and we'll call it 8 yards to go for the Richland Center Hornets, just across their own 40-yard line. I formation. There's the snap. Fake handoff to the halfback. Shep rolling back. Throws it far side and incomplete. Intending it for Wes Bosworth, and River Valley got a lot of pressure right up the middle. So good job for the line. Blake Brickle of River Valley was the main cog in that defensive wheel. And the Blackhawks will send a man deep to receive. Aiden Hill will be the lone man deep. And Richland Center will punt the ball away. The winner of tonight's game certainly keeps playoff hopes alive. The team that loses, they struggle. Here's the snap and the punt. Fingerson will punt it now. It's taken on the run. Good head of steam there for Hill. Rolls right to the 40, out to around the 44-yard line of River Valley. So after Richland Center's first possession, they punt the ball, and River Valley has it for the first time tonight. The Blackhawks taking over, and will huddle up here at the end of the field with their home fans. We'll check out the River Valley starting lineup here tonight. For their offense, the guards are Blake Brickle and Brady Blado. Also, Will Stengel and Kellen Chose are the tackles. In the center is Brady Favreau. The tight end, Chase Gilbertson. The wing is Caden Plumley. Wide receivers, Keegan Heiser and Aiden Hill. Andy Fiske, the running back. The quarterback is Lucas Klein. And here go the Blackhawks. First and 10 from their own 44-yard line. Long snap count, and there it is. Finally, Klein will roll to the near side. Quarterback keeper off left tackle, spins over the 45 out to around the 47-yard line. So the tackle is made. That was actually Fiske on the run, took the snap out of the shotgun, and that'll be a second down and 7 yards to go after the tackle by Grayson Baker, who plays in the defensive backfield. Baker, along with Shep, Wes Bosworth, and James McGowan, Kaizan Schwitzenberg, Fletcher Harper, and Duncan Harper, the D-backs. Linebackers also include Liam Fingerson, Brady Dosh, Jay Schlamm, and Abe Bosworth. Second down play. About 7 yards to go for the River Valley Blackhawks from their own 46-yard line. Again, Fiske operating as the quarterback. A man in motion going to the far side. Long snap count again. River Valley taking a little bit too much time, and I believe they're going to use a timeout. Timeout River Valley before they would get a delay of game, and will step away as well. No score here in the first quarter. River Valley with the football, their first possession of the night after a Richland Center punt. This is high school football from WRCO and WRCO.com.
Over 100 years of serving Southwest Wisconsin, all of us at Jones Chevrolet are honored to continue the tradition. We love to help you choose a new Chevrolet. We love to help with maintenance, repairs, and accessories, too. Schedule a service appointment, see our inventory, connect with a sales professional, and get pre-approved for competitive financing at JonesChev.com. Come see the exciting new Chevrolets. Jones Chevrolet, over 100 years of being your Chevy truck headquarters. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
River Valley has put up some pretty good numbers this year. Lucas Klein, 483 passing yards. Andy Fiske, 521 rushing yards. Caden Blumley with 319. Second down play for River Valley. Ball at their own 46. Man in motion for the near side. Shotgun snap. Fiske will hand it off and roll into the right side. Number 13, Aiden Hill. And there's a flag on the play. He got back near the original line of scrimmage. We'll see what the call is. Ball in that range of where a holding might be called, and it is. Holding against River Valley. So they'll talk it over with the Richland Center captain, and that ball will be pushed back just ahead of a beautiful weekend in Southwest Wisconsin with lots of things going on all weekend long. Great outdoor events, great weekend to visit an orchard. Don't forget the Canyon of Lights Parade tomorrow night right here in Richland Center. It will step off at 7 o'clock. Second down at about 20 yards to go for River Valley after the penalty. It sends them back to their own 36-yard line. Man in motion for the near side. There's the snap. Fiske handing off, and now here comes Plumlee around the near side. He's got a little room. He gets up to the 50-yard line before he's driven out of bounds, and a late flag as well on the tackle. Jaden Shep made the tackle. Some help from Brenton Baker. And the official will come to the near side. Oh, another holding penalty on River Valley. Boy, the flag came a little bit late, so it must have been on one of those downfield blockers because it was well past the line of scrimmage. So the officials will assess that. That was a good run, and I saw River Valley run that a few times last week during their homecoming football game. Out of that reverse, if you will, and sending Caden Plumlee around the edges. River Valley clearly trying to beat Richland Center around the edges. Penalized now. River Valley marches backward. The ball is at their 39-yard line. Second down at about 15 yards to go for the River Valley Blackhawks. Setting up shop here on the near side. Hatfield splits out wide left, as does Aiden Hill. Joining him is Lucas Klein. Awaiting the snap from center is Fiske. A man in motion. There's the snap. Fake handoff. Fiske runs it himself. Right side puts the shoulder down. Gets back to the original line of scrimmage and then maybe an extra yard. So that'll bring up about 9 yards to go. So River Valley exclusively using Andy Fiske as quarterback here tonight. Lucas Klein listed as the starter, but they might be switching back now. Klein, I see, goes over to the sideline to get a play from the coaching staff. Third down and 9 yards to go. River Valley just shy of midfield at the 46-yard line. Their own. Three men wide to the left side. Fiske, the running back, Let's see. No, he stays in at quarterback. Everybody else clears out. Man in motion for the near side. There's the snap. And Fiske is going to run it himself. Runs right side. Scampers to the 50. And then pulls his way to around the Richland Center 49-yard line before the play is blown dead. And it will be fourth down coming up. Fiske taking the snaps here so far, though Klein goes to the sideline for the plays. I guess that's something he is accustomed to doing. But Lucas has been lining up as a wide receiver. I believe River Valley did this some last year as well with a chance to maybe fool some teams. Comparison to what they've prepared for all week long, maybe expecting Lucas Klein at quarterback. Fiske will take it out of the shotgun. He has three men wide out on the right side. Everybody else in tight and a man in motion. That's Hill. And here's the reverse going to Plumlee. He sidesteps one man. Now he's not going to get around the other side. And Richland Center makes a big defensive play. Wow. Plumlee is brought down. Wes Bosworth and company over there to help make the stop. And also it was James McGowan making the play, number eight. So great play by the Hornet defense. And they forced the ball over on downs. River Valley failing on fourth downs. So the Hornets get it back for possession number two. Again, no score in the ball game. No time on the clock. The scoreboard is completely dark tonight. So we will not have really much of an inkling of what time the quarter is unless they relay it to the booth and we hear one of the PA announcers announce it tonight. First and 10, Richland Center, River Valley showing blitz. Shep holds steady under center. Now Richland Center is going to run a little counter to the near side. Diving for about 3 yards is the running back. And I believe that was Harper. So Fletcher gets about 4 yards. Second down and six to go. Duncan Harper runs the play in for the near side for Richland Center. Hornets taken over in a pretty good field shape. Right around the midfield start. So it's going to be right around the 45-yard line. Second down play coming up for Richland Center. Bosworth and Dosh in the backfield. There's the snap from center and a handoff to the first man through and fighting for position, Wes Bosworth. He got a couple really hard-nosed yards, and that'll bring up second down, or make that third down and five for the Richland Center Hornets. They need to get to the River Valley 38-yard line for a first down. It's a longer halftime tonight. Lots of festivities going on. The band will play. The dance team or cheerleaders have a chance for a routine, and then they will introduce the outstanding alumni, Irv Peckham and Rob Rennish. They look good in the parade today. Rob will join us a little bit later on during the broadcast. He promised. Third down play, awaiting the snap from center, and Shep's going to run it himself. Quarterback option, River Valley coming after him, and they bring him down for a big play. That was Owen Jones, who makes the stop for the Blackhawks. That'll be back around the 50-yard line. So Richland Center will have the football on a fourth down play, and Liam Fingerson is dropping back for the possible punt. No score in the ball game. Aiden Hill will head back deep to receive. Fourth down at about 12 yards to go for the Richland Center Hornets. Aiden Hill back to the return. Awaiting the snap now. Long snap count. There it is. Low snap picked up by Fingerson. He puts a toe into it. This one wobbles to the near side, bouncing around the 26, then takes a Richland Center roll to the 24-yard line, and it is downed there by Fletcher Harper. Well, let's take a look at the Filney flip phone for the first time tonight. Again, we are in the first quarter. Score clock not working tonight, so 1 minute 24 seconds remaining. It was just announced. Darlington leading Lodi 6-0 first quarter. Luther with a 7-0 lead over Viroqua. River Ridge 12-0 over Iowa Grant. River Valley up to the football after the Richland Center punt. Flags fly, and let's see. the official coming near side. So a call against River Valley. We'll back it up 5 yards. Illegal substitution is the call. You don't see that called very often. So River Valley on its own 15. 7-0 Cuba City leads over Fenimore. That is in the first quarter. Scoreless here in Richland Center as the first quarter wanes. Fiske still in at quarterback, takes the snap. Andy rolls to the right side, following a good block. Gets around the edge. Still rolling. First down. Sidesteps another. Sidesteps another. To the 40. Out to the 43-yard line. Big run of about 25 yards for Andy Fiske, the running back playing quarterback tonight. And the sticks will move on. River Valley getting really some good ceiling. And that was a nice block by Caden Plumley, who was rolling out there and sealed the deal around the edge, knocking out one of the Hornets from a possible tackle. First down and 10 yards to go. 6-0 Lancaster leading Dodgeville in the first quarter in Southwest Wisconsin Conference action. Down to the final less than a minute of the game here in the opening quarter of football. No score. River Valley sending out Quincy Blakely wide on the left side. Lucas Klein lines up here on the left side as well. And man in motion, that's Plumley, and he gets the handoff from Fiske. Caden trying to break the corner. Hornets trying to lengthen that play, and Plumley pushed out of bounds and rolls toward the sideline and out of bounds. Rolls toward the benches. So a pretty good run there. Plumley gets about 5 yards. Liam Fingerson and company escorting him out of bounds. Second down play, River Valley. Ball is marked just short of the 45-yard line for the Blackhawks. That would have stopped the clock. It will start again with the snap of the football. Sam Poppy is into the game, the guy that was talked about in the pregame show. Good to see him back out there. Fiske takes the snap. Now he's going to throw. He's got a wide open man. Plumley gets behind the defense, and he's going to go all the way after a catch. To the five, to the goal line, and a touchdown for River Valley. 56 yards. Nice pass play, and they got behind the Richland Center defense, and Fiske just floated it over the top. And Plumley does the rest. And River Valley scores first here in the opening quarter. Fiske and company in the huddle. River Valley usually just goes for two. That's what they've done all year. And they've been pretty successful at it as well. They made every single two-point conversion in the game I watched against Dodgeville. So let's see what they do here. Looks like they're going for two. Fiske remains at quarterback, Hill in motion, and a fake handoff. Now Fiske trying to go up the middle, and Richland Center will have none of that. Good play by the Richland Center defensive front, and the two-pointer failed. That was great play by Brady Dosh coming up the middle, and the two-point is no good. 6-0 in favor of the River Valley Blackhawks late in the first quarter. This is high school football from WRCO and WRCO.com.
Some banks today are a whole lot more interested in the interest you pay them than the interest they take in you. Richland County Bank, your local hometown bank, appreciates the chance to have you as a customer, but that's just the beginning. Richland County Bank is interested in you. It's a part of Richland County Bank's commitment to great customer service. If you're interested in a bank that's interested in you, Richland County Bank is the right choice. Member FDIC and equal housing lender. Learn more at richlandcountybank.com.
A big touchdown for River Valley, just 5 seconds remaining here in the opening quarter of football, 6-0 River Valley. Blackhawks will put a toe into it here in just a moment as they get set to start it in play again. River Valley Hawks with a good strike through the air. Primarily a running team, but they come out, get one by the Hornet defense. Here's the approach and the end-over-end kick. Going to be taken on the near side by the Hornets. Cutting up field is the return man. That's Jaden Shepp. He's going to roll all the way to the 48-yard line. Richland Center with a good return. Brought down by the kicker. And I think that will be the final play of this first half, or first quarter, I should say. We got another quarter to go. And then the halftime tonight, sponsored by Dairyland Transportation. 6-0 Lancaster. The Hornets have pretty good field shape for their third possession of the night. They'll start at their own 49-yard line. This is high school football from WRCO Sports.
Did you know you can buy used rental equipment at All American Do It Center? That's right. As we keep our rental inventory fresh for our customers, it's time to sell used rental equipment and tools. Our inventory includes skid steers and excavators, trailers, lifts and scaffold, lawn and garden equipment, concrete, air and power tools, and so much more. Visit our website and find rental equipment for sale or stop in the rental department at All American Do It Center in Tomah, Sparta, and Richland Center.
Chitwood Electric in Richland Center has expert service of electric motors, starters, alternators, and magnetos. Bob also sharpens cow clipper blades, and he sells new electric motors and barn fans. Stop in at 215 South Jefferson Street or give him a call at 647-3317. For the very best in service work, new motors, and barn fans, talk with Bob at Chitwood Electric Richland Center. When you need help, the number to call is 647-3317. That's Chitwood Electric.
Welcome back to Richland Center High School. It's 6-0 River Valley, and the quarter ends. Second quarter begins. So 12 on the clock, and Richland Center taking over in good field shape after a nice run return by Jaden Shep. Awaiting the snap from center is Shep. Hornets on the offense. River Valley showing a blitz. Shep hands off. Running play dash. He crosses the 50 into RV territory around the 47-yard line. Dosh brought down by number 9, Keegan Heiser, for the River Valley Hawks. I've watched a lot of these games between these two teams over the years, and there have been a lot of memorable ones. Going back to some days at Crosscut Park. One year, I think it was the last game of the regular season, and River Valley had a great running back by the name of Kevin Vogt, and Richland Center had a great running back by the name of Monty Schmidt. But in the mud and rain, nobody had an edge there. Very close game. I believe Richland Center won that one. And it was low scoring, maybe only a 6-0 or 8-0 game. Second down, back to throw is Shep. Flails it over the middle. He's got a man caught by Richland Center, and they're going to go all the way. Brady Dosh as the Hornets strike back for a touchdown. First play of the second half. Thank you very much. Nice job there. I'm getting some numbers of River Valley. A couple of River Valley players did not have numbers, so we're getting those as Richland Center scores its first touchdown, and the Hornets will try to take the lead. That was a 48-yard TD pass from Jaden Shep to Brady Dosh, and he did, it almost looked like the same play that River Valley ran. He got behind the defense and kept on rolling. So here comes the extra point try. For Richland Center, the kicker is Grayson Banker. Here is the kick. Oh, way up and out of here did they get it? No, they say it angled to the left. Boy, it was about 30 feet high, but it didn't go through the uprights. Too bad, and the game stays tied at 6. We'll estimate around 11:50 remaining in the first half. Jaden Shep going long on a bomb to Brady Dosh coming out of the backfield, and Richland Center on the board answering the long 56-yard touchdown pass from Andy Fiske to Caden Plumley. Now Jaden Shep to Brady Dosh. 6-6 ball game here, and we're off and running here. Both teams playing a little bit conservative in that opening quarter, but both score fairly close scores together. Ithaca leads Royal 7-0 in the first. That is the case tonight. And Lancaster leads Dodgeville 13-0. Prairie du Chien 21-0, leading Broadhead Judah as well. New Glarus 7-0 up on Platteville in the first quarter. Some conference news tonight. So Richland Center puts it in the tee, and they'll get it going here tonight. Back to River Valley. Grayson Banker, the kicker, also plays on the Richland Center soccer team. Plays two sports. Here's the approach, And the end over end is going to sail to the right side, taken by River Valley at the 15-yard line and moving Plumlee up to the 20, 25, to the 27-yard line. And that's where River Valley will take over. RV on its third possession of the night. And Caden Plumlee gets him a little bit of real estate. RV starting at its own 27-yard line. 6-6 ball game here at Avitus Rip Field in Richland Center. And the Hornets getting set on defense. 11:50 remaining here in first half action. And let's see if River Valley stays with Fiske at quarterback, and I believe they will. Caden Plumlee splits out to the near side. Man in motion, Hill for the far side, and here comes the running back, Fiske, trying to make a move upfield, and he's to the 27-yard line. Let's see if he got anything. Now they're going to say he was down before the original line of scrimmage, so it's about second and 11 yards to go for River Valley. Richland Center doing some good work up the middle, making the stop. Was Abe Bosworth, number 54. Hornet defensive line doing a good job. River Valley up to the football. Second down play. Ball marked right around their own 25-yard line. Homer the Hornet is circling the track with a Hornet flag. Got to be tired. Awaiting the snap from center. And there's the snap. And Fiske running over to the right side. Nowhere to go. Gobbled up by a herd of Hornets. Or a hive of Hornets. Keeper for the quarterback. Didn't go, and Brady Dosh helping out on the stop, and let's see here, for the Hornets, Devin Harris, a junior, nice play, Devin, and that makes it third down and 13 yards to go, 24-yard line, River Valley's own. Hornets trying to fire up the crowd, and whoever's performing as Homer tonight, I think he's either on the cross-country or track team, running around the track this evening. I don't think it's an adult, because they appear to be really in shape. It could be an in-shape adult, but I doubt it. Third down play, here is the quarterback, Klein. He's in there, going back to throw, completes it, caught by River Valley on the far side, and then, no, they say incomplete. Pass intended for Sam Poppy. And that makes it a fourth down play. Klein took that. And again, that's River Valley did that a bit last year where all of a sudden they'd usher Lucas back into the ball game and he'd play quarterback. So the Blackhawks will punt it away, it would seem, here after their third possession of the game. And Richland Center should have the ball back with pretty good field position. Awaiting the snap from center is the punter. Klein is the punter. He's standing back around the 10-yard line. Awaiting the snap. Good one. And Klein puts a toe into it. It's low to the ground. And ricochets. Picked up now by Shep right around the 42. He's got a little room. 50. Turns inside to the 40 of River Valley. Good return. About 20-yard return for Jaden Shep. Brought down by Keegan Heiser. And River Valley punts it away after getting one first down on that series. So the Hornets start their best field spot of the night to begin. Ball is right around the River Valley 45-yard line. So the Hornets will huddle up. Boy, just a fantastic crowd here tonight. And, of course, River Valley doesn't have far to go either. But all the homecoming festivities, lots of folks out here supporting tonight. Seventh week of the season, you can't ask for any better weather. Richland Center will break huddle and head to the 45-yard line. The line is getting set. Isaac Gall down on the left tackle spot here. And also getting out to the left side is going to be Bosworth and Figgerson. There's a little pitch to Brady Dosh trying to ride the right corner. He's tripped up at the shoelaces, gained about 5 yards to the 40. They'll give him five. Second down and five coming up the Richland Center Hornets. And appended there on the trip by Sumner Knockreiner. Looks like they're serving up some big cookies tonight as well. That's something that Hornet Concession Stand is well renowned for. Play comes in from the near side. Avery McGlynn ushers that in. Avery has played quarterback and a wing this year. And he's only a sophomore. Second down play, two men wide to the left side for Richland Center. Offset eye, awaiting the snap. Jaden Shipp, there it is. Hand off to the fullback, and Bosworth pulling his way down to around the 32-yard line. So he makes a little headway. Going to be short of the first down, however. Third down and 2 yards to go. Sam Poppy out on defense, and Chase Gilbertson. Third down. Coming in with the play is Kaizan Switzenberg for Richland Center. They're in River Valley territory. 6-6 ball game score. Hornets with the ball on the River Valley 32-yard line. Awaiting the snap from center will be the quarterback, Jaden Shep. He has Bosworth and Dosh behind him. One man split out wide to the left side. That's Fletcher Harper. And it's going to be a running play for the Hornets. Off left tackle, not much there for the running back. He got, that was Dosh, and Heiser holds him short of the first down by not much, less than a yard it looks like. So fourth down, and the Hornets will go for it. McGlynn and Shep hustled back to the huddle. Second quarter action, tied at six. They've got a dry erase board score clock tonight here down on the track. Fourth down and short, snap from center, flags fly, and the running back bulls his way. That's Bosworth for a first down yardage-wise, but it might be coming back. Good blocking by the Hornets. And the whistle sounds, and I believe we have a River Valley player that will be slow to get up. That was on the other side, away from the football. And Chase Gilbertson, slow to get up. So injury time now, both teams going to the sidelines. It is 6-6 right now in favor of whom? No one. River Valley took the early lead, 6-0. Richland Center answered that. River Valley score came late in the first, and the Richland Center score came on the first play of the second quarter. 6-6 ball game. And for Richland Center, they have the ball in River Valley territory. The ball is marked for a first down. They got enough of it on that one. So the flag, whatever it was against River Valley, and the penalty declined. First and 10 for Richland Center inside the River Valley 30-yard line, right around the 28. 6-6 ball game. The Hornets hustle back to the football. Kleppe set to snap the ball. It's like Jaden Shep will operate out of the shotgun. Brady Dosh directly behind him. Two men slotted to the right side. And Shep's going to try to keep himself. Gets around the edge. Bumps his way to the 25. Falls to the 24. Gain of about 4 to 5 yards for the Richland Center running back. Good seal by Abe Bosworth. And that was a right tackle sealing the deal. Second down and about 7 yards to go for the Richland Center Hornets in River Valley territory. Both teams with long touchdown passes to get the job done. Harper slits out wide to the near side for the Hornets. Awaiting the snap from center is Shep. Man in motion from the far side, and Shep is back to throw. River Valley coming after him. He spins out, now throws it up in the air, and it is going to be intercepted by River Valley. Picked off by Sumner Knockreiner. Ball right around the 10-yard line for River Valley. Nice play by the River Valley defense. The pressure was coming after Jaden Shep, and he threw toward the area where the receiver was. Overshot him a little bit, and Knockreiner gets the pickoff, and River Valley gets it back the other way. So now, River Valley for its fourth possession, starting in its worst field position of the night. Ball is marked at the 11-yard line, their own. or a defense trying to cinch in River Valley offense on the field. There's the snap and the wraparound handoff to Fiske. Nowhere to go. He sidesteps one, sidesteps another. Too many Hornets, and they're going to bring him down right around the 8-yard line. Fiske makes the play to the left side. It could have been worse. They're going to give him a loss of 3 on the play. Isaac Gauld on the stop for the Richland Center defense. Making a nice play there. 6-6 ball game here in the second quarter. We do not have the benefit of a score clock. It's been a while since I've had a football game and we didn't have a score clock. I remember one time one got struck by lightning at a game I was at. A lot of times in spring sports, you don't always have a scoreboard. Second down, 13 for River Valley. Ball at their own 8. And here's a passing play going far side. Poppy up in the air. He's got it. Big first down for River Valley. Out across the 36 to around the 38-yard line. Sam Poppy makes the grab. And Duncan Harper forces him down. And the chains will move on. That was impressive. Ball comes up. They're going to catch up with the chain gang. And the flag, I should say the play will move on. They wave it on. Looks like the band is making a way out from the high school. They'll be performing at halftime, so that's a good indication. We're getting fairly late in the second quarter. 6-6 ball game, River Valley football. A drive that started on their own 11. They're across the 35. There's the snap. Klein hands off. Nope, keeps it himself. Running play this way, and no, he's going to delay the handoff. Draw play to Plumlee. And Caden Plumlee will get about 2 yards, 3 yards perhaps. So second down and 8 yards to go. Liam Fingerson comes from that far side to help with the tackle. 3:20 remaining in the first half. Again, the Dairyland Transportation High School sports update coming up at halftime. River Valley breaks committee, and they'll head to the football. Ball is marked at their own 37-yard line. Klein, it looks like, will take the snap. Fiske to his left. There's the snap. Lucas back to throw. Going to air it out again. Poppy's way up in the air. Got it. What a catch. Oh, my goodness. All the way to the 36-yard line. One of the Hornets ran in behind. I thought maybe he was going to intercept, but just off his outstretched hands, and Sam Poppy, welcome back. My goodness. So the catch is made, and the play, well, River Valley extends the drive. It is at the Richland Center, 35-yard line. River Valley moving and grooving with two big plays to Sam Poppy, who is back, the senior. So awaiting the snap from center will be the signal caller, Lucas Klein, Plumlee in motion. Handoff going for a running play up the gut for Fiske, and he crosses the 35 to the 34. Gain of only about a yard on the play. And that will be Brady Dosh with the stop. Very impressive. The class floats today look pretty good in the homecoming parade. Get a lot of involvement by some, I don't want to say old Hornets, some Hornets with some seasoned Hornets. All right. Second down and about 10 yards to go for River Valley in Richland Center territory. Klein takes it from the 40 on the shotgun snap, hands off to Fiske, moves this way, gets across the line of scrimmage to about another 2 or 3 yards. So he started about 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, gains 2. Couple of Hornets a little slow to get up. Tackle is made by Kaizan Schwitzenberg and Duncan Harper. Third down and about 8 yards to go for River Valley in Richland Center territory. They have the ball at the Richland Center 34-yard line. River Valley trying to take the time down here and possibly put one in before halftime. That was a backbreaker last week. Lancaster scored in a trick play on the final play of the first half. Third down play for Klein. He has Fiske over to the right side. Two-man wide side, fakes the handoff, now throws it complete. And nearly a first down for River Valley on the catch and run by Quincy Blakely, and that will move the sticks. Blakely moves him. Ball around the 24-yard line. Wes Bosworth coming up for that linebacker spot to make the tackle. First and 10. A little over 4 minutes remaining here in the first half. 6-6 ball game. River Valley scored first. Richland Center second. River Valley trying to score again now as they have a late half drive going on. Klein, the quarterback, will look it over. Favreau, the center. There's the shotgun snap. Fake handoff to Fiske, and here is a throw by Klein. Right side up in the air, knocked away at the last moment on a pass play intended for Plumlee. Well defended by Richland Center. That was Harper up in the air, Fletcher Harper. And I think he defended it, blocked it, and I think Brady Dosh was on the other side, so the pass was really thrown into some tough territory. Actually, Brenton Baker was the man that was behind him, so Baker and Harper defending Sam Poppy really well. Second down, 10 yards to go for the Blackhawks inside the Richland Center 24-yard line. Two-man wide left, and Klein will remain a quarterback. Fiske to his left, man in motion. That is Blakely. There's the snap. Back to throw, going left side. It's caught by Poppy Pitt. The hook and ladder. Back it goes to Fiske. He's inside the 10 to the 5. Brought down at the 4. The old hook and ladder play, and River Valley will convert. I don't see any flags on the play. Nope. They're bringing the chains down or laying them down. And it'll be first and goal for River Valley at the 5-yard line. So just a little bit left in the second quarter, and River Valley continues on a drive. That might be one of my favorite all-time plays, and you don't see it very often, but it does seem to work. So the pass play to Poppy, who caught it and then pitched to Fiske coming around the left side, and he ran it well down the sidelines into Richland Center territory a little deeper, to the 5-yard line. Trying to untie this game at 6 here at Avitus Rip Field on a Friday night. Weekend number 7 of high school football. A full night of coverage here on the radio, including football Friday night, which will get underway at 10 o'clock. Our coverage begins. Chuck and Dan on a statewide look at high school football. First and goal to go for the River Valley Blackhawks. Ball on the far hash mark, two men wide to the near side, awaiting the snap from center will be the quarterback, man in motion, and that's Hill. There's the snap, back to throw is Klein, gunning it near side, up in the air, makes a grab, Poppy reaching over the Hornet defender, and he's got it for a touchdown. Nice throw by Klein. Poppy making his presence known. Welcome back to him, coming off injury. And he's had some super catches on this drive, and the Blackhawks score. They're going to use a timeout before the extra point. So that will be a 5-yard TD pass. This one from Lucas Klein, who just stayed back in the pocket and threw it over the top of the Hornet defender, who had it defended well, but Poppy a little taller, able to reach out and make that catch. So the timeout for River Valley as they jump ahead 12-0. They have been 12-0, 12-6. They have been very successful with their two-point conversions, but they were not after their first touchdown here this evening. Both teams in huddle mode. Boy, it's a fun night for the youth. Having a good time here, building some new memories. A lot of youngsters just below me here in their school colors. A couple of them look like they have their dance costumes on tonight. River Valley with the score, and now they'll come out for the two-point conversion after the timeout. Hornet defense trying to stand strong here and deny again. Keep River Valley only leading by 6 points. Klein is lining up at quarterback from the shotgun. He's got Fiske to his right. Man in motion, and now back to throw is Klein. Going to gun it over the near side. Caught by Poppy and then knocked away. What a play by the Hornets. Fletcher Harper, who deflects it. And the two-point fails. 12-6, and that looks like that was the final play of the first half. So time, again, we have no concept of time here. I knew it was getting late, but that was the final play. So River Valley does to Richland Center what Lancaster did to River Valley last week, and they score a touchdown to break a tie on the final play of the half. 12-6 the score here at Avitus Rip Field. The Hornets have denied 2 two-point conversions. Lancaster led by, 20-14 by 6 at halftime last week over River Valley. This week, the Blackhawks lead by 6. It is a 12-6 lead over Richland Center. Homecoming football at Avitus Rip Field. You're listening to high school football from WRCO and WRCO.com.
Open season hunting outlet LLC Richland Center has what you want to enjoy hunting and target practicing in the great outdoors. From 17 caliber varmint guns to shotguns, deer rifles, trail cameras, and archery. Open season hunting outlet open from 11 to 5 Monday through Friday and Saturday 8:30 until 2 at 182 North Main Street, Richland Center. Or call 649-0030. Competitive prices on guns, ammo, and other outdoor needs. Stop at Open Season Hunting Outlet or visit openseasonoutlet.com.
Welcome to the Dairyland Transportation High School Sports Update. Dairyland Transportation of Richland Center knows what it takes to meet the needs of customers in a fast-paced world. It's similar to the commitment high school athletes make. Dairyland Transportation is proud to salute all high school athletes with the Dairyland Transportation High School Sports Update.
The Richland Center Ithaca cross country team recently ran at Black River Falls, as did River Valley, getting a chance to be on the same course that they will run for the sectional coming up in just a couple of weeks. Richland Center Ithaca coach Eric Mindum talked about how the season's been going for the team.
Big race Saturday in Platteville. That's an early bus time to get there, and that's also one of the largest races of the year. So it's a big meet, nice course, good facility there. So that's usually one where kids can run some really fast times on still yet another challenging course.
Can you tell us about the schedule then? When is conference, and when will sectional be scheduled this year?
Yeah, we've got one more tune-up after Platteville and Riverdale. They host on the 12th this year, and then we're going to have conference on the 17th in October. Lancaster's hosting that. That's a pretty quick course. So we're excited about what we can do there and have the opportunity to get some kids medal and be in the all-conference conversation there. And then our sectionals, again, up in Black River Falls on the 25th of October. So quite a drive up there, but again, we're going to know what to expect.
You're always paired with some good teams, and you'll talk about your conference right here in your backyard. They're really tough. Some of the toughest in the state, aren't they?
Yeah, it's both a blessing and a curse. It makes it really challenging for us to get runners into that all-conference conversation and into those spots. But I do think it brings out the best in us. When you get to, you can't be the best without beating the best. And so Lancaster's girls team, year over year, really competitive, really strong. Dodgeville, Mineral Point, every year put good teams together for the boys and the girls. The girls got bumped up to Division One because of their success. And the boys right there in the mix to maybe win state for Division Two. They're in the conversation. So I do feel like running against those teams locally here does make us better, and we've seen our times come down over the years because of it.
You've seen it from time to time where maybe you didn't finish as high in the conference, but you know, you finished better in the sectional. That's kind of the way it goes sometimes, isn't it?
It really is. I think when we get to race against those schools all the time, it's a tough area of the state to run in. You know, we have the hills in the southwest here that they maybe don't have in other parts of the state. So when we get on a course against some of those other schools, I feel like we're better prepared for it. So we've seen our sectional placing come down for the boys and the girls from last place 7-8 years ago to competitive teams trying to push forward to advance the states. So I do think the area competition has something to do with that, too.
Richland Center Ithaca cross-country coach Eric Mindum on the Halftime Report, sponsored by Dairyland Transportation.
KJ Cold Storage is a warehouse that is locally owned and operated, located in southwest Wisconsin, and is ready to take in and store products in need of refrigeration. KJ Cold Storage is committed to providing a safe, sanitary, and secure storage space. The 50,000 square foot refrigerated facility features 7,680 pallet positions ready to fill and three loading docks to keep drivers moving. Call 739-5085. KJ Cold Storage, all your needs for cold storage.
Travis Wilson of Wisports.net is our guest for the seventh week of the season. Here we go. Travis, a lot of teams will probably be punching their tickets to the playoffs this week, I would guess.
Yeah, they will. In fact, already 71 teams have clinched a playoff spot. Essentially what that means is that they have won four conference games. If you win four conference games, you're guaranteed to be in the playoffs, of course. Not everybody makes the playoffs. Football is the only sport that is like that in high school in the state of Wisconsin, a little unique. You have to earn your way in. Get those four wins and you're in. So again, 71 teams have done so. 74 teams are what we would consider on the bubble, and they have a chance to clinch a playoff spot with one more victory. In the past number of years, actually about 10 years or so, there have been a lot of teams that finished 3-4 in conference that get into the postseason, but you're not guaranteed to. So any teams that get to three wins, we consider on the bubble. And you know, if you're 3-4, you got to wait out a bunch of tiebreakers. And as we saw last year, unfortunately for Richland Center, they did not have a tiebreaker number that got them into the playoffs. So everybody's going for four conference wins. And again, a lot of teams that can get to that mark this week.
Do you think that the WIA would ever go to some sort of a format where everybody makes the playoffs like the other sports or not?
They've had discussions about it. There's been various overtures and proposals over the years. There was a district plan that was put together about 10, 12 years ago, maybe a little longer now, that would have been essentially all play, more of a district-type model that we see in other states, including Minnesota, including Iowa, including elsewhere in the country. But ultimately, that was voted down. There would be a number of issues related to travel with that, because every district, you would have districts instead of conferences, and every district would have to have teams from the same division in them. And right now, obviously, with conferences, you can have teams from different divisions. It allows a little more flexibility to fill in. So the district plan had a lot of challenges, especially in western and northern Wisconsin, with some of the distances that would come into play. You also lose some of the rivalries that might occur across divisions within, a conference right now. So that was voted down. There's been inklings, there's been discussions since then of an all-play model, of a district revisiting the district model, but hasn't really gone too far. I think for the most part, people are satisfied with the way it is right now. There's 224 teams in 11-player football that get in the playoffs. And keep in mind, our number of 11-player teams has dwindled considerably over the years. Just 10 years ago or so, there were about 425 teams that played 11-player football, and 224 made the playoffs. Now we're down under 360 teams that play 11-player football, with a number that have gone to 8-player, with co-ops and some teams dropping football. So right now, I mean, more than two-thirds of the teams actually about two-thirds of the teams actually make the playoffs already. So, is it better if a team goes 0-9 and gets in the playoffs? Does that really help anything? I'm not so sure. And again, that's why they've stayed status quo, at least in the number of teams that make the postseason.
And we see that sometimes, because teams are granted the chance to play, like maybe your underclassmen on a 10th week, and a lot of teams don't do that. I think they're ready to move on to winter sports many times, aren't they?
They are, and we've tracked it, and there's three or four games a year where they take advantage of that opportunity to play a 10th game if they don't make the playoffs. If you're a team that was 0-9 or even 3-6 and you went 2-5 in conference, there's not many of those that are clamoring to play another game. But they do have that option. So if you want to get 10 games in, you can.
It's just not many teams are actually taking advantage of that. I wish there was more. I like that idea. I like giving your younger kids another opportunity to prepare, and you get another week of practice and working with kids. But I understand why it's not really that popular.
When you look at the scores that have been coming in this week, Travis, again, it seems like there's a lot of haves and have-nots in high school football, aren't there?
Certainly are. We've talked about it before, that there seems to be a growing gap between the best teams and the weaker teams, the haves and have-nots, as you said. It's why we see a lot of the same names at the top of the rankings and making it to state year after year after year, and why it's so hard for teams that are on the other end of that spectrum that really are struggling. It's very difficult for them to get out of that rut to turn things around. It takes an investment from a program. It takes investment in your coaches and coaching staff. It takes consistency in your coaching staff, and that's really hard to come by at a lot of places in high school football. So we do see kind of a widening gap. We do see a lot of blowouts, but to be fair, we see some incredible games each and every week around the state of Wisconsin and in the area. I mean, my Reedsburg Beavers have played three straight games that were decided by one score, two of them that were decided in the final minute of the game. So there's still good games that are happening, and that's what we would love to see.
What about top games this week during the seventh week? Anything in the Southwest Conference?
In the SWC this week, obviously Richland Center and River Valley, especially being homecoming, I mean, that's a spotlight game for a number of reasons, just because of the rivalry. And for Richland Center, if they have any hopes of making it to the postseason, they've got to get this one. And, I think there was maybe some expectation that things would go a little bit better than what we've seen so far, especially coming off that impressive win over a Tolma team that made the playoffs last year in Division III, but just been unable to continue that momentum. So this is a must-win for Coach Troxel's group. Otherwise, not any huge games necessarily. I mean, Platteville plays New Glarus. New Glarus had started pretty hot, and Platteville had started pretty cold, but they've gotten it turned around. We're looking forward to some games the last couple weeks when we start getting into, Prairie du Chien plays Lancaster still, those kinds of matchups. But, an interesting week. It's moving week for a lot of teams. I mean, teams like Broadhead, Judah, and River Valley, and New Glarus that are all 2-2 in conference, if they get a win this week, that's a huge difference between heading into next week at 3-2 or heading into next week at 2-3 in conference.
Big game in the Scenic Bluffs, Ithaca and Royal. The Bulldogs are having a memorable year, aren't they?
Yeah, they've already beaten the heavyweights in the Scenic Bluffs, Cashton and Royal. Been really impressive in doing so, beat Cashton and Bangor in impressive doing so. But Royal has looked pretty good this year as well, and that will be a tough game for the Bulldogs. But it is another chance to take that step in the direction of not only keeping that undefeated season going, but really taking a big step forward in terms of a conference championship opportunity.
You mentioned the dwindling numbers in the 11-player football. That will affect the divisions for the upcoming playoffs, I'm guessing, too, won't it?
Yeah, it will. We've seen the cut lines adjusted over the years as things kind of spread out. It used to be that, that Division 7 cut line, the biggest schools were 185 to 190. Now that's creeping up to around 215 because there's so many of those smaller schools that have moved on to 8-player football. So it changes that dynamic a little bit. And that is something that, of all the playoff things that have been discussed, I think that's maybe the one that I could see some movement on, especially if there is a chance this year that there could be a team that finishes 2-5 in conference and gets into the playoffs. And if that happens, I think that would be a tipping point potentially to look at, going from 425 teams to now under 360 without changing the number of qualifiers and without changing the number of divisions. That could be something that gets looked at. They've said for a while they did not want 8-player football to replace Division 7, but that's what has happened to a large extent. So, there could be some momentum down the road for maybe moving down back to six divisions, still 32 teams in each division, but that would be 196 total qualifiers instead of 224. Obviously, that changes obviously who gets in and how many teams get in and what those cut lines are, but we're getting off